May I again, just in a word, give you thanks for your kindness to me, and even last evening meeting some of you. It was good for me to put faces to some names that I've heard of, and to be amongst you, not just preaching the word, but also in fellowship afterwards. And I would again wish to thank your pastor for his invitation to come amongst you here. And also at this time, in case I forget later, particularly to thank his dear wife for the way that, as you can imagine, I am well looked after in the months there with them. And feel very much at home with them all there. But friends, most of all, to thank God for his great mercy and kindness and love in that he has brought any of us even here together today. What a privilege it is to gather together with the Lord's people. Where I come from is different, some of you know of it, but there is something about meeting with the Lord's people. Wherever you meet with them, those who are truly his own, there is a bond and a fellowship and a unity there that is precious. And even when we may never have met before, there is something when we meet with those who love the Lord that binds us together in a way that nothing will ever separate or bring any kind of separation. There is a day coming when we will all meet again in glory, even if we never meet again in this world, if we are the Lord's. And that's a wonderful hope that we have as even we begin the service today. And last evening we sought to look, by God's grace, at the natural and the spiritual man. And I would like us this morning to look what goes on from, in a sense, from what is true of the spiritual man, and that is to do with the sonship and the adoption that is his. We read in Galatians chapter 4, and we may read at verse 4, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Now we know, of course, that adoption is bestowed upon believers in virtue of their union with Christ, and is not in any way the result of their own obedience. It is indeed as a result of his, our Saviour's, obedience. And so God, for the sake of his only begotten Son's obedience, makes all those who are spiritual men, those who are justified persons, they are now his children. And the Christian, says the Apostle Paul, is a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We have that in the 26th verse of the previous chapter. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so the rights and the privileges are yours when you exercise faith in Christ. Now, friends, of course, it's not that faith itself, makes any of us sons of God, but yet without faith in the Son of God, we would not be his children. The relationship into which we enter when we come to faith and when we believe, though it may be true that we might not necessarily be immediately aware of it at our new birth. It is a new relationship. It is an incredible relationship. Indeed, it's an amazing relationship. It can often be, though it's not always, of course, the case, can often be that what we are first of all aware of when we come to know the Lord is His mercy and His forgiveness rather than His sonship immediately. But I think it would be true to say that that idea of sonship and being part of the family of God will soon be understood by the person who comes to faith. When we come and know the mercy and the forgiveness, when we come and realize that the Lord has had mercy upon our souls, when we come to understand that Christ died for us, that is a wonderful, incredible, amazing situation, to be in that situation. And then when you realize that in a sense even something greater is this adoption into the family of God, oh, how that should particularly humble us, that God says in His word, I will be a father unto you. And one of the great truths that comes home to us with power, isn't it, when we are born again and when we realize our standing now, forgiven sinners, and also that we have a Father in heaven. I hope and pray, friends, that every single person here today knows that for themselves. And if you do not, if you still are a stranger to grace and to God, oh, dear friend, seek Him earnestly this morning, and don't let another day go by until you have this assurance in your heart that God has had mercy upon you and that He has brought you into this new relationship. For as unbelievers, as the natural man, we can know nothing of adoption. We can know nothing of sonship. But now in this new relationship, this is a precious truth for the people of God, that God is their Father in heaven. Now, sometimes I think that we can too often linger on thinking of ourselves as saved by the skin of our teeth. And that is true, of course. For in a very real sense, it's true about all of us. But sometimes if we linger on that, it can be, I believe, to the detriment of our faith, of our souls. We should see not just that we are saved but by the skin of our teeth, but what that has brought us into, and the new relationship that is there then when we are saved. There is, in a real sense, where it is true of every redeemed soul that we are saved by the skin of our teeth. But let not that be a reason, and that it would not cause us to miss out the blessings, knowing of this awareness that we have now become the sons of God. That felt assurance, that felt sense that we are indeed God's children, and that He is our Father in heaven. I know that sometimes, even still, is it not true, even for the oldest Christian here, it is sometimes hard to grasp, isn't it, that God is my Father in heaven, that I can be a child of God in His family. Now, friends, I think we should ever strive for that assurance of sense. And when we have that assurance, and when we go on believing this, I believe also that we will be more used to the Lord and as witnesses for Him in the world, if we are aware of what He has done for us in our salvation, yeah, that He has saved our souls, that He has saved us from hell, that He has redeemed us, and that He has made us His own children. And Christian here today, you need to grasp every day that you live the fact that you're no longer a servant. You are no longer, as we have it here, a son, but a slave, but that you are a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And I fear that sometimes we may be doing despite to the Spirit of grace, and we are so slow at times to acknowledge and rejoice, friends, as we should, in our blood-bought relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our elder brother, and to God as our Father in heaven. Or we may say, well, I believe that. We may say we believe that that is indeed our relationship. But then it is one thing to say it. It is another thing to live it out in our lives. That we live as those who are the children of the Almighty. We can live as saved sinners. We can live as those redeemed by the grace of God. And living also surely as obedient to Him as our Heavenly Father, aware of what it is to be a child of God. And friends, one thing that that should do for us is surely it is whatever comes into our experience, whatever difficulties we may have, that we have this wonderful strengthening, this wonderful hope today. God is my Father in heaven. Why should I fear what man can do to me? We are so easily intimidated at times by the sinful world around us. And so often we are not to the fore in the way that we should. But dear Christian, brother, sister here today, when you think and lay hold of this truth, I am a child of God. God is my Father in heaven. He will not withhold anything from me that is for my good. How that should strengthen us and enable us to go on in our faith from day to day. Well, let us then consider the process of coming into sonship or adoption. Now, in a sense, and theologians speak of an order here, as you know, and in the logical, strictly theological order, we speak about justification, as it were, coming first, adoption is there, but in a very real sense, they cannot be separated. They cannot be separated. In one way, they happen together. Somebody made the illustration, and while like all illustrations, they can fall short, you can understand what he was saying. He's speaking about turning on a light switch. And you reach out your hand, and your hand touches the switch first before the light comes on. But the two, really, you cannot separate them. The two are together there. We are justified. We are adopted. This is an instantaneous act of God's free grace in His love and in His mercy. And what manner of love, Scripture says, that God has bestowed upon us to be called the sons of God. And adoption then, being adopted, it gives us the rights of children the moment we believe. It's not, friends, that we are justified and then there is an apprenticeship time. It is there in that instant. Immediately you trust in Christ as your Savior by faith. You are justified, praise God for it, but you are also adopted. You are in the family of God. And God predestinates His own to adoption by Jesus Christ, as we have it here in verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, Ephesians 1:5. And that is what the child of God is. God is doing this for you. God is doing all for us. We are brought from being children of wrath into being children of His love. Well, yes, we were blind, and now we see. We were in the far country, and now we are in His family. And it is God, the covenant God, who does all this for us. You see, we don't and we cannot make ourselves children. It is impossible. It is the Father who adopts. We cannot even make ourselves children of God by believing. It is not, that is not what makes us. But at the same time, we have to say, but believing, we are the children of God. We are His and in His family. And in this wonderful, amazing, glorious, loving act of God, we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the family of Satan, into his holy family, numbered among the saints of God. Friend, do you marvel at that sometimes? You know, is it not true that sometimes as the Lord's people, when we stop and consider what he has done for us, it is beyond belief. I don't know if I'm sure you feel that as I do at times. That such a wretch, amazing grace, that such a wretch, such wretches as we are, that God would have mercy upon us and willing to number us among his own blessed children. We who were destined for hell, that we find ourselves here today with this glorious prospect of heaven awaiting us. He having prepared a place for us. He having brought us into his own family. And having brought us into his own family, friends, he hasn't left us homeless. He has prepared a home for his people. Oh, friends, what a Savior we have. As we gather together here on his day, what a Savior we have today. And what a Father is our Father in heaven. What an indescribable love that he would do this for such as you and I. Knowing, friends, as we look back on our own lives, some of us, knowing what we were like, remembering the pit that we were in, thinking about the years that we despised and rejected the overtures of grace in the gospel. And here you are this morning, and God has had mercy upon you. He has brought you into his family. Wonderful thing that he would forgive you. But he's also brought you into his own family. Amazing grace indeed. Now, of course, we must never, as we well know, we must never conclude that God saw that we would believe, so therefore adopted us into his family. You see, God saw nothing in us to induce him to make us his own children. Why did he see nothing in us? Because there was nothing in us. Absolutely no reason whatsoever in any of us that God would bring us into his own family. Friends, we were unclean things, and we were there with the stink of death and hell about us. But he has plucked us as brands from the burning. He has brought us into this new relationship. And here you are today, Christian, with that hope, I pray, in your heart that the Lord has done this for you. As guilty sinners, we have nothing of ourselves, nothing to earn or warrant his favor. But he freely sets his love upon us. That is what he has done for you, and confers now upon you all the rights and privileges of his own children. I think sometimes it is true, I'm sure it's true for you as it is for me, sometimes I look around me and I see other Christians. And in a sense, I can see something of if it was possible for God to have mercy upon such. And then I look at my own life, and it is more amazing that he would have mercy upon me. You know what that's like at times? Oh, the grace and the mercy and the loving kindness of God, that he would ever look upon such as we are. And you know, when we are brought into this relationship with all the rights and the privileges of his children, and at the same time our eyes are opened to see that this sonship is a gift of God, a gift of grace received by faith, that itself, friends, should surely make us stop and consider. Oh, God forbid that we would ever take any of these things for granted. but that every day we would count our blessings, that we are brought into his family, saved in justification, of course. God acts as our judge, and he changes our legal standing. But in adoption, he changes our personal status. Amazing indeed that you would stand in the court before the judge of all the earth, and that he, and you know you are guilty, and he would declare that you are justified, that you are free. Amazing. But not only that, this judge does something more amazing still. He says, you are also, I want to take you into my family. I want you to be my child. I want you to be with me. And so he justifies us. He changes our legal standing. But he also, in adoption, he changes our personal status. Because in adoption, he is not dealing with us as a judge, as he is when he is justifying us. But he is dealing with us as our Father. And he brings us into that relationship that should be ever precious to us. Through justification, we are freed from condemnation and declared righteous. And having been justified, you are now in God's favor. But in adoption, you are in God's family. And that is an amazing, incredible transformation, friends. Brought into his family. And you now here today, child of God, having been adopted, you can say, without fear or favor, I am a child of the Most High. My Father is in heaven, and my elder brother is there, my beloved Savior, his beloved Son. And now here you are, and being adopted, as all adopted children will be, they have a new name given to them. And in this also, there is a new nature as you are brought into this new family relationship. And you are now not just, as it were, someone who was heading for hell, but you are now brought into this new relationship. You are named and known in glory. And even this morning, as you sit here worshiping the Lord, you are known individually by him, by your Father in heaven, and by your elder brother. Imagine that. A king's son and daughter with all that entails. You are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Me, you say? Ah, yes, you. Yes, you poor, undeserving sinner. This is the new relationship that you are in now. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8. For ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. But you might be here this morning, and you're saying, well, I hear what you say, and in one sense I believe it. I know it's what Scripture teaches, but I have to confess that I don't always feel like a child of God. Do you say that here this morning? I believe the Scripture, but oh, I wish I felt more than I do that I am a child of God. I wish I could feel more than I do that God is my Heavenly Father. I wish I could feel more than I do that I am a joint heir with Christ. Well, friend, do you believe in God, Father, Son, and Spirit? Do you believe that Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that he rose again for your justification? Oh, yes, you see, I believe all these things. Well, friend, if you believe all these things, whether you feel a child of God or not, it doesn't in any way change your status. You are a child of God. God has saved you. That is His work. You see, the moment we believe, that is our status now. It's not a privilege that's added to us as we grow in faith and in grace. It's not a case of even according to how you feel. That doesn't come into it. It's not about your feelings. And far too often we tend to go by our feelings, don't we? Now, of course, who wants and nobody wants to take feelings out of Christianity and out of following the Lord. We rejoice that the Lord has made us in that way. But dear friend, be careful though that you are not just going according to your feelings from day to day. You and I know how one day we can be on the mountaintop and the next day in the valley. We cannot just go by our feelings. It is, do we have faith? Do we trust in the Lord? Because faith is the mark of sonship. Do you have saving faith today? Do you believe in Christ as your Savior? Well, dear friend, you are then a son, an heir of God, whether you like it or not. You look ourselves in our natural family situations. And I'm sure the young ones here, we are parents here today, as some of us who are older, remember as well that in our natural family situations, we can look back and remember times when, well, for one reason or another, we didn't feel as loved by our parents as at other times. That didn't mean that we were no longer part of the family. It was just about some days we didn't feel like that. But we were still who we were, part of a certain family, part of what we were, what we had been made. And so it is with ourselves. While some days we may not feel, and we may not feel that love that we once have, and sometimes have more than other times for the Lord, and we feel maybe that we haven't got that relationship. But it doesn't change, friends. The relationship is there. Sonship, adoption is about what God does for you, not about how you and I feel on certain given days. And sonship, like all that is ours in Christ, it is all of grace. It is what He has done for us. The process of coming into sonship then is His work. He does it. We cannot make ourselves children. But when we come to faith, when God justifies us, we are brought into this new relationship, into this new situation with the Lord. And of course also, secondly, there are privileges then, particular privileges that are attached to sonship. Now, I don't suppose I would need to state it here in such a gathering as this, but I will anyway. We have to remember, whatever the world thinks, we are not all God's adopted children. There is this idea abroad that we are all God's children. The reality is, friends, He is not everybody's heavenly Father. Yes, we read in Acts 17 and elsewhere about Him, in whom everyone live, we live and move and have our being. We are His offspring, but that has to do with man's existence rather than to do with sonship, particularly. It's to do with man's existence. But there is a special relationship that God brings His own into. You see, it is unbiblical, and indeed it is a dangerous teaching that is abroad of the universal fatherhood of God. And I fear it is nothing but a teaching taught by theologians and preachers and others who want to be men pleasers rather than pleasers of God, rather than preach the biblical truth. Talking last night to one of the brethren in the tea after the service, and this was brought up, and it's amazing, as I'm sure you have it here, I'm sure not within this very place, but in this congregation, but you've come across it, I'm sure. Go to funerals today, and everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. It doesn't matter how they lived. It doesn't matter what they believed. It doesn't matter what they've said and shown themselves. But everyone is going to see their Heavenly Father. I fear that, I thank God, it is not in our own denomination, but in those very close to us. I have to say where I come from. More and more we hear of this. Now I know at times of death we have to be very sensitive, and we don't know what God does with anyone in the last minute. We don't. But then again, it is so presumptuous. And yes, it is surely not honouring to God that, well, if you die, of course you're going to see your Heavenly Father. Friends, why should anyone fear death? Why should anyone seek mercy and forgiveness if you already have a loving Father in heaven waiting for you? And you're all, and we're all part of the worldwide embracing every religion family. If that's all that is required, why do I or your pastor and else, why do we stand to preach the gospel? What would be the point of it? And so there is a danger, friends, that this kind of thinking can even creep in with ourselves. And we have to beware of it. The universal fatherhood of God, a dangerous teaching. Such people who teach would be far better preaching God as the Creator. That will ultimately mean that they'll have to give an account to God for their lives. Indeed, He is the Creator of every man, but He is the Father only to His own chosen adopted sons. The covenant God, the God who is our Father in heaven, those whom He has laid His hand on, those in whom He has chosen, you here today who love the Lord, He is your Heavenly Father. And there are privileges that go with this. And one of the great privileges is that a believer, as a son, that he can say, as we have it here, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And you can say that meaningfully and lovingly. And yes, with a holy boldness. Oh, you say, I feel sometimes that that's going too far for me. I'm afraid sometimes to use these terms. I fear that that is not really for me. It's presumption. No, friend. It's not presumption. It's biblical. It is the relationship that you have. Of course we have to be careful. And of course we're aware of who we are when we approach our Heavenly Father. But this is about a holy biblical familiarity that is a blessing and a privilege that comes to being a son and a daughter of the living God, knowing and believing and trusting. Friend, what else would a child do but approach his father trusting, knowing that because of who he is and who you are, that you can approach him and that you can seek his help and his fellowship. Surely that is natural, knowing that God will accept us and not turn you away. Isn't that what a child does? Going to his parents? He doesn't think at all, well, I'd better be careful here. Naturally, he will flee and go to his parents. Friends, if nothing else, we have an elder brother in the family. The one we come and we're afraid sometimes to come. Here is one who has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Here is one who makes intercession for us. Here is one who has gone before us. Oh, of course, we mustn't approach God with an imprudent, careless, and unthinking attitude. But we can and should approach Him with a holy boldness, yes, with reverence and godly fear. And this is one of the great privileges that are ours today, that we can approach Him and say, Abba, Father. Now, there are many privileges we could touch on, but may I touch on one more? And it is this. Another privilege that belongs to the child of God, the privilege of chastisement. The privilege of chastisement. Oh, you say, how can that be a privilege? Scripture tells us, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening, of course, for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, Scripture says, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Friends, it is a privilege to have chastisement in your life from one who loves you and one who cares for you. Whom the Lord loveth, He chastens. Whom the Lord loveth. We are under His fatherly care. We are under His protection. And it would be a strange, uncaring Father who would allow His children to always do what pleased themselves and never corrected them. So we should see, friends, that even chastening, yes, I know it is hard at times, but we should see it for what it is. That our Heavenly Father, friends, as Scripture tells us, knoweth what you need. And He knows when you and I need chastisement, as He knows when you and I need encouragement and lifting up. Like as a father pitieth his children, said the psalmist, so the Lord pitieth those who are His own, those that fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. His chastisement of us is for our eternal good and for His own glory. And He is the one also who protects His children. His children shall have a place of refuge, Proverbs 14. He looks after His children. He protects His children. Now, these situations, friends, they may not be comfortable at times for us. Indeed, we can feel the pain of it at times. But you see, as Scripture says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. But notice the next words that you know very well. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Nevertheless, afterwards. And we know ourselves, those who have been chastened even by our natural parents, though there is, when we learn from it, that it is for our eternal, for our good. So it is with our eternal Father. You see, God never chastens without a reason. He never chastens except that you need that chastening. There was always and always will be a purpose for His chastening of us. So, friend, while it is hard, pray for grace not to rebel against it, but stop to consider why it is in your life at that time. Now, of course, despite your sin and your continual, painful at times correction, again, it is a privilege of sonship. But even in being corrected and chastened, you don't lose your status as a child of God. Indeed, it is because you are a child that you are being chastened. You cannot lose your status as an adopted child any more than you can lose your status us justified. Oh yes, through your sin and your backsliding, you can lose the enjoyment that should be yours as a child of God. Through your unbelief and through your rebellion at times and backsliding, you can put a distance between yourself and the Lord by grieving His Spirit. And you can lose that wonderful sense of communion and fellowship that is always precious to His own and to yourself as His child. But you are still and always will be part of His adopted precious family. And even His most painful blow, friend, remember this, the most painful blow that He can bring into your experience, it is from a loving hand, from one who seeks your eternal good. Oh, I know it's not easy to see it when you're in the midst of it, and we can rebel against it, but we have to learn this, friends. God doeth all things well. But I say also to you, beware today if you sense a distance between you and the Lord. Ask yourself, who or what has caused this separation? Why do I not feel today that sense of His presence, that communion and closeness to Him as my Father in heaven? I believe that unconfessed sin, sin that known sin, we don't know all our sins, but I do believe that unconfessed known sin is always a barrier, a great wall that comes between ourselves and fellowship and communion with God. We have to examine ourselves in that matter. Through sin, we of course dishonor God, and so we put a barrier between ourselves and the Lord. We read of those in Malachi's day, of those who were dishonoring God by their lifestyle. Through Malachi we read, a son honoureth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? Where is mine honour? Friends, let us beware of not appreciating and making the best use of the glorious privileges afforded to us in sonship. And never forget, even in chastisement, as I said, He doeth all things well. Now, there are many other privileges that we could mention, but time doesn't allow. You can think about them yourselves, but particularly the privilege of drawing near and saying, Abba, Father, but also remember the privilege of chastisement. It is a mark, friends, that God loves you and that He cares for you. And then thirdly, we can consider the particular differences between our sonship and Christ's. Now we are sons, not as Christ the only begotten was, but as those who have had God's name given them by and through the grace of adoption, where the justified receives the spirit of adoption. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And our adoption is as a direct result of our union with Christ, and is received by faith. You are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But the Lord's sonship was by eternal generation. Our sonship comes about by a change of status. But the Lord Jesus was ever the Son. He has always been of one substance with the Father. He did not, friends, become a son when He took bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And while we can say with care that the Lord Jesus is not God's only Son, we can say He is the only Son not adopted. There is that difference. He is begotten, not adopted. And it's not helpful or accurate to say, as some of the modern versions of Scripture have it, the one and only Son. There's a in some context there in Scripture, we have to be very careful about that. It is of vital importance for us when we think of ourselves as having a heavenly Father, as sons of God. It's vitally important for us at the same time to distinguish what we by grace are, as saved sinners, adopted sons, and what the Saviour is, as the only begotten eternal Son of God. Our sonship had a beginning. His is not in that way. To us, God the Father says, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. To Christ he says, thou art my son. As we sang there in Psalm 2. So while, friends, we have the wonderful privilege of being sons and daughters of God, and yes, glorious, unfathomable truth, joined heirs with Christ, let us never forget that that is by his grace and not be by merit on any right that we have ourselves. Christ is alone the one who is the Son by eternal generation. We are sons by adoption, but there is no loss or less privilege in being adopted sons. We have all that we can have and that we need in that. And it is indeed amazing, isn't it, that we are joined heirs with Christ, as Scripture says. Who can truly fathom what that means, to be joined heirs with Christ, that we, the offscouring of the earth, would have such a privilege today as the children of God? We must hurry on. Fourthly, the future prospects that belong to us as sons. Well, of course, we shall see him face to face. Imagine that. Faith swallowed up by sight. You know, this iniquitous world that we live in, with all its opposition and hatred, will be gone forever. It's hard, isn't it, to remember and to grasp that. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more tears. That's what's awaiting you, child of God, here today. Oh, you may be going through deep waters. You may find the way lonely and hard. You may wonder, am I ever going to reach the end of the journey? But you will, because you're united to him. In our shortcomings and failings and sin, which so often cloud our vision, all these things will be gone, will be no more. But there, that's what awaits us, friends. There we will understand and know fully what it is to be a child of God, an adopted son with all the privileges of the sons of God. You know, very often in this world, the Christian can feel like a stranger. You ever walked, I'm sure you have, you walked in maybe through the city, and people everywhere, but you feel as a stranger. You feel alone, a pilgrim. And that, friends, is what you are, because you are not of this world any longer. Often feel an outsider and unwanted, alienated from all that is around us. And so it should be, friends. So it should be. We should not be at home in this world. We should not be seeing this world as the be-all and end-all of our existence. We should be looking beyond this world and thinking of what is awaiting you as a child of God. We will have difficulties in this world. As he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so, says the Apostle, it is now. Oh, friend, child of God here today, you may be going through difficulties that no one else knows about. Maybe you're not able to share it with anyone around you. But he knows. Don't let that trouble you in the least bit. He knows. You see, you cannot feel totally at home in this world. There will always be for you as an adopted son the sense that you're still at a distance, as it were, from your home, from where you belong. As the song goes, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Where does any child feel most comfortable and protected? Is it not within the Father's home? Is it not in the presence with his brothers and sisters, with the wider family? And is that not so with the child of God? Where will you feel most at home? Surely to be with those who have the same Father. And today you can judge again your own spiritual condition by asking this question: who am I at ease with here? Who do I love to be with? Whose company do I love to be in above every other company? And the child of God will say that he loves to be with the Lord's people, loves to come to church on the Sabbath day because that's where they are. And he looks around and he says, ah, yes, here's my brother. And you shake hands with your sister. And you think, we have the same Father in heaven. We have the same elder brother. We are united to him and united in that way to each other. And friends, surely if we're indeed God's adopted, that it is with his own people that we will be happy. What is enjoying fellowship, worshipping in church, studying the Word together? What is that? It's a foretaste of heaven. It's part of what God has prepared for his children. We will be perfect there. And like your elder brother in the glory, we will be forever with the Lord. But you know, friend, that is what belongs, that's the future prospect. But there should already be a family likeness seen in your life. You see, it is not just when we get to glory that we are his children. You are already his children. We don't become God's children in heaven. As redeemed and saved and born again of the Spirit of God, as justified believers, as adopted children, that is what we are. We're already God's children. And we should have a family likeness. Friend, I ask you today, do you have a family likeness? Do people see you as one who belongs to the Lord? Do others take note of you often that you have been with Jesus? Not for the world to come, but now. Oh, how we need, friends, to be more heavenly minded. You know, what nonsense the view that someone can be so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly use, as some put it. Is it not true that we're not heavenly minded enough? The more heavenly minded we are, the more good we will do in this world. And when you think of this, friends, that the Lord is awaiting your homecoming. Imagine that. Not just this saint and that saint, not just this man and that woman, but awaiting your homecoming. Isn't that incredible? And speaking with reverence, there is in a sense which we can say that the Lord is not content till all his beloved people are with him where he is, and in all for whom he has died are presented faultless before his Father, before the throne, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Behold, he says, I am the children which God hath given me. Are you today, friend, one of these, one of those who love the Lord? Oh yes, death, the wages of sin, it breaks up families in this world. But for the adopted child of God, death is going home to a prepared house, to a prepared place. Heaven, a prepared place for a prepared people. And the preparation for heaven, friends, is here in this world. Will you be there? Will you be there? Now, because of death, there are always partings in this world. But in a very real sense, friends, we can say this is true about the Christian. He never has to say a final goodbye, because you will meet again in glory. The sonship he has conferred upon you is not just for this world. For if it was so, well, we would be of all men most miserable. The sonship that is yours here this morning is yours for eternity. Isn't that a wonderful prospect? What a hope we have as children of the living God. What a hope we have. What a Father in heaven we have, and what a Saviour who has done all this for us. Oh, dear friends, that all of us today would know in our own hearts and souls that we are numbered amongst His blessed children. Can you say today that He is yours? Do you have that hope here this morning? That you are an heir of God through Christ. No more a slave, no more a servant. And that you can come and that you can say, Abba, Father. May He bless these thoughts to us.